Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming to church today. Special welcome to those who are joining us online. I'm Dave Sattler, one of the pastors here at North Shore Alliance Church. It's time now to look to God's Word, the Bible. And we believe one of the primary ways that God speaks and reveals himself and his will is through his word, the Bible. Well, we've been on the move with Jesus for 29 weeks now. And today we complete our thrilling odyssey through the fast-paced Bible book of Mark. We're going to be finally done today. And throughout this biography of Jesus, author John Mark has been showcasing who Jesus is by what Jesus does, how Jesus backs up his teaching with his actions. And Passion Week, Holy Week, is Exhibit A. Rather shockingly, Jesus does what all along he said he would do, and he willingly sacrifices his life on a Roman cross to reconcile humanity and all creation. And 3 days later, Jesus does the unthinkable. He rises from the dead, a feat that he'd told his disciples about at least three times, though for them it went in one ear and out the other. A new era is dawning at sunrise on Easter morning. And over the next 6 weeks or so, risen Jesus appears to more than 500 people. And then, poof, Jesus ascends into heaven, leaving his mission in the hands of his motley crew of disciples. What is he thinking? And some of the last words on earth that Jesus speaks are to his followers. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And this invitation to join the mission of Jesus is still valid for us, Christ followers, today. It's reflected in statement number 5 of our current North Shore Alliance Church vision statement. We are a church that's for the global mission of God. And though his mission is sometimes difficult, there's never a dull moment. Being on mission with Jesus always promises great adventure. Well, many years ago, I was leading a mission trip to the Philippines, visiting two missionary families who'd recently been sent from here to plant a church amongst an unreached people group. And after a long journey by plane, bus, and foot, at dusk, we finally arrived at the tribe high in the mountains north of Manila. And an hour or two after settling in, I was surprisingly invited to go on a visit with our missionaries to visit some of the local tribespeople. It was a memorable evening. Navigating the mountain in the dark and wet was difficult enough. And then at one of the stops, we were invited in to one of the family's one-room grass huts with a fire in the corner. It was very special to be invited in. And that night, our hosts graciously served up 2 local culinary delights. And to hear what happened next, you'll have to wait till the end of the sermon. We finish Mark's story today in Mark chapter 16. And I just have to be perfectly upfront with you. There are some textual problems with Mark's ending. It's highly unlikely that Mark would have ended his book so abruptly on verse 8. Yet most of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 to 20, which is why they appear in italics, or with an asterisk, or not at all in your Bible. And it's possible that Mark's conclusion had somehow been lost or misplaced or gotten torn off the papyrus roll during transport. We do know, however, that many of the early church writers, I'll name 3 of them, Papias, Justin Martyr, and Hippolytus, refer to Mark 16, 9 to 20 in their writings, and they seem to accept it as genuine. While these verses may have been a summary written by editors and added in later on, the scenes that these verses describe line up with other gospel narratives. And so I would like us to conclude that there is no reason to believe that there's anything false or inaccurate about Mark chapter 16, 9 to 20. So here it goes. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with Jesus and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. And afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. And these returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word written some 2,000 years ago. We thank you, God, that you still speak now to us through your word, the Bible. And God, I ask that you would come now and move me out of the way and come and speak to us by your Spirit. Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us and on this gathering here this morning? Would you make Jesus real to us, Spirit of the living God? Would you pump us up for the mission of Jesus today in our world? We ask now that you come and speak to us, God. We're hungry to hear from you. In Jesus' name and for his glory, we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus appears first to Mary Magdalene. A woman is the primary witness to the resurrection. This makes a strong statement that Jesus trusts her with this high task. And mentioned often, she is a prominent figure in the Gospels, especially in the Holy Week narratives. Yet, sadly, for about 1,400 years of church history, Mary Magdalene was mislabeled a prostitute, and there is no biblical evidence for this. What we do know about Mary is, number one, she hails from Magdala. It's a fishing village on the western shores of the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. It's near where most of the male disciples came from. And two, this we also know about Mary. She was a woman out of whom Jesus had driven seven demons. Wow. My theory? Of all people, Mary of Magdala would have understood resurrection. Why? Because she'd experienced it herself. Can you imagine being inhabited by seven demons? Must have felt like walking dead. And I'm sure to be set free from Jesus by Jesus would have felt like new life for her. She knew the power of Jesus and was herself a walking resurrection. She's often referred to as the apostle of apostles. Mary Magdalene becomes the first missionary. She hurries off to tell the others she's seen Jesus. But no one's buying her testimony. They don't believe Mary. It's not a pretty picture that the text paints. Did you catch it? When two disciples return from Emmaus, having walked and talked with the risen Jesus and report back to the rest, they don't believe them either. And John touched on this in last week's sermon. The disciples' lack of faith, despite the evidence, means there's hope for us too. It's a recurring theme in the book of Mark is this earthy, messy, up and down nature of the disciples' faith. And I have to say the obvious this morning that Christian faith is a journey for all of us. Even though they've had front row seats to Jesus' teaching, they've seen God do miracles even through them, it's not registering. They're still resistant. They're still hesitant to put their trust in Jesus. And in our scene, Jesus, the risen Lord, shows up while they're eating. And it does say he rebukes them for their lack of faith and stubborn refusal to believe. I just want to take a moment to encourage those who may be stubborn, skeptical, or struggling with doubts about Jesus or his message today. You've been in church, you've heard the songs, the sermons, the testimonies, but deep down you still have serious questions about Jesus. And you're definitely having a hard time with the prospect of trusting Jesus with your life. Just want you to know that it's okay to voice these struggles and doubts. Coming to faith in Jesus, like any relationship, doesn't come easy. It takes time. Stick with it. Continue asking your probing questions. Keep seeking to understand truth. Even pray, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Prove that you're real. Show up in my life. This came up recently in our Alpha course. Satisfying all the objective arguments and examining the facts about Jesus are important exercises, but nothing compares to meeting the risen Jesus. I saw Lionel Messi this week in Vancouver, and it was nice, but nothing compares to meeting the risen Jesus. I have met the risen Jesus. I know he's real. And it's our prayer at North Shore Alliance Church that we would encounter the life-changing presence of Jesus in all of our gatherings. It's a moment also recorded in Matthew and told by Luke in the first chapter of Acts. In a tender and grace-filled scene, Jesus visits the disciples back at their homes in Galilee, and he's probably visiting a group of people who are feeling shame after having abandoned their rabbi. And rather than doubling down on his rebuke or booting them off the team for not getting it, Jesus instead commissions them. He invites them to be part of his mission. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And now we know from history, there's actually probably a 5 to 10 year gap between verse 19 and verse 20. The disciples don't take to the mission immediately. It took some time. It didn't happen until years later when, because of persecution, they're flushed out of Jerusalem and out into the mission to the entire Roman world. But still, the reality of Jesus' resurrection sets the church in motion. As one commentator puts it, the experience of the holy leads to action. The experience of the risen Lord leads to proclamation. Remarkably, Jesus invites his disciples into and even asks them to carry his ongoing mission in our world. And next, the resurrected Jesus ascends into heaven, and he's completing his work on earth, and he's establishing his authority as king at the right hand of God. That's the imagery here. But it does seem a little strange that Jesus just leaves. Yet it was necessary for Jesus to ascend bodily so that the disciples could now put confidence in the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, who's not bound by physical space. Post-ascension, Christ's followers are to rely on the power and presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I love verse 20, the Lord worked with them, it says, and confirmed his work by signs that accompanied it. The mandate for us is not to get the job done ourselves, but to join with Jesus in the power and presence of his Spirit in his mission. Christ's followers are called to go and preach the good news in word and deed, and God takes care of the results. Even today, when people obey God's call to go by his Spirit, God loves to show up in power. Well, it's time now to close the book with some life applications. First is this. The mission of Jesus is to all creation. The concept of faith in one God who is for all people wasn't part of the thinking of Jesus' day. Fact is, one of the reasons Jesus was crucified by religious leaders was because he preached a Messiah who'd come to ransom all humanity and redeem all creation. This was a revolutionary idea. Still is. In the global mission of God, there is not one dominant culture. The God of the Christian story respects culture, but also transcends it with his vast heart of love for all people groups. Therefore, any mission strategy that involves bending people to a certain national agenda or worldview is not of God. It's my deepest conviction that when God's people merge together beyond the human barriers of language and culture, God moves mightily. For the Christian story is beautifully expressed across the kaleidoscope of God's creation. If you have not worshiped in a church that's not in your first language, I highly recommend it. Many of you from different parts of the world worship Jesus with us here, not in your first language, every week. What a joy it is to be part of an inter-ethnic church. And I've heard many stories of God revealing himself and touching hearts here too, across language and cultural barriers. Did you catch Arash's testimony at his baptism last Sunday? He shared it in Farsi. I read a translation of it in English, and I'm sharing an excerpt from it this morning. This is Arash's story. Being far from my family, unemployed and under a lot of emotional pressure, I felt deeply lonely and hopeless. During those dark moments, a friend suggested that I go to church to find some peace. At the time, I was just looking for a place to quiet my mind, but I found something far greater than I expected. In the stillness of prayer and worship, I asked Jesus to help me. It was hard to believe, but within less than 2 weeks, everything began to change. Arash's story demonstrates the vast scope and deep love of Jesus for all creation. Maybe this morning you find yourself in church wondering where you fit. Perhaps by story or by circumstance, you're not sure. You don't have to speak a certain language. You don't have to be born in a particular country. You don't have to have a squeaky, clean past to be accepted by Jesus. In life's dark moments, when we feel like a failure, when we feel alone, when life hasn't gone the way we'd hoped it would, it can be very tempting to simply write ourselves out of the story. But this is not how God works. Know this, Jesus truly is for all people. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Peace, purpose, belonging, true love are only found in relationship with Jesus. And I encourage you to open your heart by faith to receive his love that is for you and all creation. Second application is this: the mission of Jesus isn't only for perfect people. I think there's a tendency to gloss over the facts or to brand as superheroes the characters of the Bible. And so I appreciate how Mark makes it surprisingly clear. The disciples aren't what we would call very good disciples. They don't listen well to their teacher, and they don't always do what their teacher says to do. And yet, Jesus continues to believe in them. He continues to love and work with them, and he even entrusts his ongoing earthly mission to them. To be part of the mission of Jesus, we don't have to have it all together. It's impossible. We can't on our own horsepower ever be good enough disciples of Jesus. It's core to the Christian faith is God's grace. Salvation is a gift to be received from God. And participation in the mission of Jesus is also a gift of grace, which by faith in Jesus, we can choose to step into. However, in an effort to keep us on the sidelines of the mission, the enemy often plants thoughts in our minds, doesn't he? The enemy likes to say, "You're not good enough. You're not skilled enough. You don't know enough. Evangelism is only for pastors, theologians, and missionaries. People will think you're crazy if you talk about Jesus." All of these are lies that try to keep us out of the mission of Jesus. Christ followers here today? Are we following the command of Jesus to go and preach? Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century Baptist preacher, once said, "It is not the end of Christian life to come and hear sermons." Sorry to tell you that. You're listening to one right now. "Scatter as widely as ever you can the blessing which you get for yourself. The moment you find the light and realize the world is in the dark, run away with your match and lend somebody else a light." It's hard, I know. Our West Coast culture is so anti-Christian, I often feel fearful to speak up about Jesus. But lately, God's been prompting me to be a bit more bold, to bring up Jesus in casual conversations, to pray on the spot for people who share hard stuff, even to invite friends and teammates to church. And you know what? No one has punched me yet. And most have been grateful I brought up the topic of faith in Jesus, or at least reacted blankly neutral to it. Remember, it's our job to obey Jesus' call, and it's the Spirit's job to change people's hearts. People of North Shore Alliance Church, may we be faithful to the call of Jesus to go. Third and final application is this: the mission of Jesus always involves humble acts of service. You've heard it said throughout our series, Mark's gospel revolves around this one verse, these radical and compelling words of our Savior Jesus. He says this of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." One commentator says Jesus' life and teaching turned the world upside down. The world sees power as a way to gain control over others. But Jesus, with all authority and power in heaven and on earth, chose instead to serve others. He held children in his arms. He healed the sick. He washed his disciples' feet. And he died for the sins of the world. Following Jesus means receiving this same power to serve. As believers, we are called to be servants of Christ. As Christ served, so are we to serve. The truth is, God loves to do big things with our small acts of obedience and service. Back to that dark night in the grass hut in the northern Philippines. When the two local delicacies were put before us, we smiled externally and winced internally. Not exactly drinking deadly poison or picking up snakes, but after a few deep breaths, we were downing tribal rice wine, a sour drink with high alcohol content. We were also biting into barbecued meat on a stick, chewy chicken, masarap. I only learned later that it was dog. With little common language, we communicated via facial expressions and hand gestures. But eating tribal food and drinking tribal wine communicated value, desire for relationship beyond culture and language barriers, and the love of Jesus at an intimate heart level. My missionary friends later declared, "We're not just here eating chicken. We are eating chicken. But there's so much more to it than that." And I'm happy to report today, some 25 years later, through the support of this church and the hard work of families sent from here, there is now a group of believers in an indigenous church there, led by the local tribespeople. The call to mission is the call to humbly serve others in the way of Jesus. Sure, joining in his mission comes with a cost. It's not always comfortable or convenient, but there are some sweet byproducts. Do you know that mission and community go hand in hand? I believe God has designed it this way. When Christ followers step out together in mission, willingly putting themselves in precarious situations where they must trust Jesus to show up, their faith grows, and so too does their bond with fellow believers. I've seen this countless times. Just last Friday, a group of us had the privilege of serving a community lunch downstairs to 180 people. and spiritual friendships blossomed. It was actually cool to see that some who served together Friday also were baptized together on Sunday. If you are not currently serving in the mission of Jesus somewhere, I highly recommend it. And for those who are serving, thank you. Week after week, God is using you to impact other people for eternity. We see it, and it's beautiful. People of North Shore Alliance Church, may we follow the humble lead of our Savior Jesus and step in to serve in the mission of Jesus in our world. Amen. I invite the worship and prayer teams to come now. During and after the songs, I want to let you know that prayer is available. Clive and Debbie will be over here. They would love to pray with you or pray for you. I believe Tom and Isabel will be in the balcony over here. If there's something on your heart this morning, a doubt that you're struggling with, or a desire for a fresh equipping for the mission of Jesus in your life, I encourage you to see our prayer ministers who can help you take it to Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's stand now to respond to Jesus in worship.